Hello, it's a beautiful thing to be coming your way again. Today, we will be talking about the source code of salvation. The source code of salvation. And we are going to be reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now let's take that again, but then very slowly. For we are his workmanship. Stop. For we are his workmanship. The key word here is workmanship. And do you know what this means? It means we are not just a refurbished item. We are not just a copy of someone else's design. We are not designed based on another concept that existed somewhere, and we are authentic products of God. We are God's special brand. God carefully planned and made us the way he wanted to make us. God had something in mind when he was making us. God saw a need and wanted to meet that need, and he made us. The Bible says in Genesis, and God said, "Let us create a man in our own image." And we were created in God's likeness. God saw something. God had a concept in mind. We are his workmanship. And I like to use some technical terms. We are not open source. You know, when you talk about the Android operating system, when you talk about the source code, the source code is open source, and it is available to the public. Anyone can copy it and remodify it, but we aren't open source. The code is not available to the public. And it isn't something that can be rewritten by anyone. Our program isn't based on any known code, but on the love code. When God was programming us, when God was writing us, you know, we are like programs. And when God was writing us, he used the love code. We were divinely programmed, structured, and activated only for the kingdom purpose. We don't need any more modification. We were perfectly written and encrypted by the Holy Spirit. For example, the Android operating system comes up with updates always. There are various versions of Android that you need to upgrade your phone to so that your phone can function effectively. The Microsoft OS, for example, usually sends out updates. They want to patch security loopholes. They want to patch some factory problems, you know, because they know their operating system isn't perfect. So they always have to patch to send out updates for you to have a more secure experience. But we are not like that. We don't need any more modification. We were perfectly written and encrypted by the Holy Spirit. We have been sealed, and it isn't possible to be decrypted again. No one can access the source code, and no one can modify it. We have been programmed to be in the perfect state forever. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were saved, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now, can you see that? By believing the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which guarantees salvation, God's program was deployed in you. It was installed in you and set to run forever. When Jesus came, when God was planning out salvation, when God was working salvation out, he had something in mind. And the moment you believed the word of truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, your salvation became guaranteed. Now, I want us to take these things very carefully. So, by hearing the word of truth, which is the gospel, salvation becomes guaranteed. By hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, your salvation becomes guaranteed. And the moment you believe, the next thing that follows is a seal of the Holy Spirit. The reason why you are sealed by the Holy Spirit or of the Holy Spirit is so that whatever has taken place cannot be reversed. Salvation that comes from God is irreversible. And the beautiful thing is that after this salvation has been deployed in you, you got sealed by the Holy Spirit. And this is not like the antivirus which needs to connect to a virus database to download the latest virus definitions. No, this is not like that. There is no need to download definitions, you know, maybe to stay more protected. Your salvation is not at risk. You are eternally secure by the reason of that seal of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it the seal. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now all you need is to keep walking in the Word of God. All you need is to keep beholding the word of God, and you will begin to manifest what has already been made available to you. It is much more than what artificial intelligence is to man. The more you learn the word of God, the more you activate the power already made available in you, and the more you learn to express it. As a believer in Christ Jesus, whenever you behold the word, you are sharing something from inside of you. You are stirring resources that are already inside of you. For example, on earth we have gold, we have diamonds and all of that, but sometimes for us to access it, we need to mine it. It doesn't mean these things are not available on earth. They are available on earth, but the only people who have access to it are people who are ready to mine. If you are not ready to mine crude oil, no matter how much you know you have crude oil, you are not going to make use of it. Artificial intelligence machines may always need software updates, but what God deployed in you is full. It is full forever. It doesn't need any kind of update. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 8, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ. And what does this mean to give by one's riches? What does it mean to give in accordance to God's riches or to his good pleasure? It means to give to the limit of what one's resources permits. When the Bible says that we have the forgiveness, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, the riches of God's grace. When the Bible talks about it, it means that God gives to the limit of what his resources permits. And God's resources permits all, because it has no limit. So when we read in accordance with the riches of God's grace, it means to the extent of God's surplus grace. Now let us go back again from where we started from. What we read earlier, the Bible says that we are God's workmanship. We are his project. He owns the patent. And This program of God is written in the love codes, which no other person can rewrite. And it is encrypted by the Holy Spirit, which no other person can decrypt. Now let me tell you how hard it is to crack this love code. It is so hard that God Himself cannot unsave those He already saved. Oh, hallelujah. God Himself cannot unsave. The Bible says that God is mighty to save. This is what His mighty are doing. This is what His mighty are doing. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, wherefore He is able also to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is mind-blowing. First, we see that He who has saved us is able to completely save us. Since we've seen He's able to save us completely, we can trust His salvation. And the only criterion is coming to God through Him, as He is the only way to God. I'm talking about Jesus. And secondly, we see why He can save completely. He constantly speaks on our behalf, and He doesn't run down on energy. He doesn't need energy drink to stay activated. He doesn't need fuel to keep moving, to keep walking. The Bible says, wherefore He is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He constantly speaks on our behalf. Forever and ever, this is what He lives for, to make intercession for us. He doesn't run down on energy. He is not like the solar panel that pours out very high voltage during the day but goes down at night. He makes intercession forever. I talked about how the love code cannot be cracked. And I need to show us further how much love was employed in the program of salvation. If you would ever be able to view the source code of salvation, all you would see is love, love, and love to infinity. It is this same God who spoke to Jeremiah in chapter 35 verse 3, saying, "Yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Concerning salvation, God made a promise that predated the coming of Jesus. And in this promise, heaven leaked the image of God's product. You know, sometimes we see that maybe Apple is planning a product. Maybe sometimes we see that Apple is launching a product, and or they are designing a product. And sometimes we see that there was a product leak. Maybe the information leaked, and all over the social media, you may begin to see the kind of design they are making, the kind of features they are trying to make available in their device. In the same way, what God was doing, heaven leaked the image of God's product. Heaven leaked the information concerning what God was doing. And this leak was backed up by God. And we see God exposing a feature contained in His program. And the psalmist caught this and said, "As far as east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." We need to understand the terminology of the east to west. It is not like flying from Manchester to San Diego. It is not like driving from Enugu, Nigeria to Lagos. If we are to use modern language to explain what the psalmist wrote, he was saying, just as two parallel lines can never intersect, that is how God has removed our transgressions from us. Yes, it is that very far. Just like two parallel lines can never meet. That is how God has removed our transgressions from us. That means our transgressions have been removed to that point that it's impossible for the both of us to reconcile again. This is the extent of God's love, and God's love cannot be exhausted. It doesn't run dry, and it is ever fresh and ever new. No wonder in Lamentations chapter 3 from verse 22 to 23, we see something there that his compassions failed not. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Oh, what a truth. Do you know what it means that his mercies are new every morning? It means that we can never get used to God's mercies. We can never get tired of it. And he himself can never get tired of his own mercies. There isn't a point where we can look at God's mercies and say, well, I've seen it before. The mercies of God you see today will always look different from the one you saw yesterday. His mercies are new every morning. When the Bible talks about the angels bowing down before him often and on, saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord." When the Bible talks about these things, it is not as though God commanded them to be doing that. It is not a ritual. The thing is that whenever they bow and look up, they will see something surprising again, and in respect, in honor, in veneration, they bow yet again and say, "Oh, holy, holy is the Lord." And they look up again, they see something different. They don't get tired of it. They don't get bored. Each time they look up, they see something different. And it continues this way forever. It is something that awes them. It is not something they get tired of doing. They keep seeing surprises every time. They keep being wowed every time. So the mercies of God you see today will always look different from the one you saw yesterday. That is how new God's mercies are every morning. Now we have seen how we are God's workmanship. And the shock doesn't end there. The shock doesn't end there. The Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus. We aren't just made in heaven, not like the angels, not even like the 24 elders. We are made in Christ and for Christ. Christ is the workshop where we were made. Christ is the location where we were made. Christ is the facility with which we were made. And no wonder the Bible says, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. Christ is our life, the very system on which we were programmed, and the very system on which we run. We are not programmed to run independently of him. We are like the web app. Whenever you open a web app, the web app is running on a server. The web app is hosted somewhere. And when you are running it on your system, whatever you see on your system is what is being processed at the back end on the server. The web app is not installed to run on your laptop. The web app doesn't depend on the engine of your laptop. The web app runs from the host, and then you can it shows you whatever it's got to show you on the screen while you operate from your screen. But it is based on a host. It is based on a server located somewhere. That is how we are located in Christ. And we are not running independently of him. We were not installed on our bodies just like that to run independently. We are like the web app. And God's divine project was programmed in Christ and installed in man with a steady connection to Christ. This connection doesn't suffer network issues. There is no bandwidth limit, and the storage space is not limited. The connection is purely liquid. And concerning the Holy Spirit, which is in us, Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. I've done a teaching on this. You can find the teaching. The title is The Spirit of Jesus. It's available on Josh Diary. It's available on audio formats. You can listen to the podcast. It's on our House of Vasilia website. So you can check out the teaching I made on that subject, The Spirit of Jesus. But then the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Christ is our host. Everything that we are is hosted in Christ. And the Bible says in Acts 17 verse 26, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. And somewhere else in Colossians chapter 3 verse 3, the Bible says that our life is hidden in Christ. The Bible goes further to say that as God's project, created and hosted in Christ Jesus, functioning real-time from the heavenly places in Christ, we were designed for a purpose. And summarily, that purpose is called good works. We were created and hosted in Christ Jesus. We are functioning real-time from the heavenly places in Christ. We were designed for a purpose, and that purpose is called good works. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9 to 10, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. In a simple term, good works simply means good deeds, a display of virtue. In the language of Jesus, good works are summed up in one word, which is love. And if we can walk in love, we are doing good works. We have been saved to save others. The Bible says we have been called into the ministry of reconciliation. The reason for ministry is ministry. Our salvation, the reason, you know, we were saved, yes, we have been reconciled to God, yes, and we have been given a task. We were wired with love, and we are programmed to express that same love at will. We were not designed like robots. We are programmed to express that same love at will, so we decide to express that love. When Jesus said, love your neighbor, when he talks about love, it means that love is not a feeling. You don't tell people how to feel. That means that love is something we decide to do regardless of how we feel. No wonder the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And if we take a look at Colossians again, we can only express this same, love of God when we are filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the love that drives us when we reach out to the unsaved. This is the love that drives us when we reach out to the helpless and the vulnerable. This is the love that drives us when we stand for those who have been persecuted. When we stand for those who are going through rejection. When we stand for those who are going through tough times. This is the love that drives us when we do ministry. This is the love that drives us when we preach the gospel. We were created in Christ Jesus for ministry. Those good works are beyond living good life. It involves living for a purpose, which is Christ. It involves living a life of love just the way God would have us do. What an amazing thing to know that we are God's brand, his flagship product, written in the love codes, programmed for a specific kingdom project, and released into the world to plunder hell and populate heaven. It is also very amazing to know that anyone who believes in Christ Jesus becomes a device on which this program is run. It cannot be altered like the first Adam. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life." To receive and to have are two different things. You can receive something and not have it. If the Bible had simply said we would just receive eternal life, it means we may lose it. But I think the writers were very careful enough to use the word have. Yes, we can receive something and have it, but we can also receive something and not have it. To have and to receive are two different things. You can receive something and it may not necessarily be yours. You can receive something and at a point it gets lost. But the Bible records that anyone who believes shall have, the word there is have, shall have eternal life. And to understand the word have, I'd like us to look at Mark chapter 11 verse 24. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Look at that again. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray." Or let me read in a very plain English. "Therefore I say to you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you have received them, and you shall have them." Now you see, there is a difference between receive and have. To have in this context means to be in ownership, while to receive means to accept what has been delivered to you, or to be in your possession. Now believe it is in your possession, and it shall become your own. When the Bible says that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life, this means that when we believe, we now have eternal life as our own, and that life is personified in Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 verse 4, "When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And I said earlier, we are hosted in Christ. We are earthen vessels. You know, our bodies are earthen vessels. We are like God's physical devices through which God's program, a program that was written in the love language and encrypted by the Holy Spirit, through which this program finds expression. I said before that if we are to find the source code of salvation, if we are to find the source code of what God has done in us, the only thing we are going to see in that code is love, 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 love. And we're going to see this love to infinity. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish." This salvation was originated from love. This salvation was originated from one place, love. "For God so loved the world, and he gave Jesus, that whosoever believes receives him and will not perish, but have the life of God, eternal life." This is so amazing. This is so amazing. It is a beautiful thing to know. And I believe that this truth will guide you. I believe that this truth will change your life forever. Until I come back your way again, I am George O.N. Blessings.